Платформа РУСЛСМЛВ, программа ТЧК. Меня зовут Алена Борисова. Приветствую всех зрителей, которые сейчас подключаются к этой трансляции в соцсетях, как на Ютубе, так и на Фейсбуке. Но я без лишних предисловий и вступлений сразу представлю нашего сегодняшнего гостя, посол США в Латвии Джон Кармайл. Здравствуйте.
Hello, and thank you for having me here today.
Ну, нашим зрителям поясню, что, возможно, этот эфир будет с некоторыми такими задержками, потому что, как вы можете догадаться, сейчас работает переводчик, и господину послу переводят все мои вопросы на английский язык. Ну, небольшое вступление и пояснение для наших зрителей. К своим обязанностям посла в Латвии вы приступили 3 года назад, в ноябре 2019-го, и срок ваших полномочий заканчивается на этом посту совсем скоро, в конце января. Расскажите сначала, какой вы представляли себе Латвию до того, как вы здесь оказались, что вы о ней знали? Может быть, какие-то стереотипные представления были? И оправдались или не оправдались ваши ожидания?
Yeah. Well, before I came, I knew Latvia was a very robust democracy, a place where things functioned well. It was also a country that's a very good friend of the United States, a strategic partner. But I had no idea that things would quickly change after we got here. Nobody foresaw the COVID pandemic that's lasted for 18 months, 2 years. Well, we're still in it. And then, of course, the Russia's reinvasion of Ukraine that changed the world last year, almost a year ago now.
Что вы поняли про нашу страну? Удивило ли вас чем-нибудь в Латвии?
Nothing surprised me so much, because I already knew about the depth of the relationship between the United States and Latvia. And I got a good taste of that before I even came to the country, when I was going through my hearing process, doing my consultations in Washington. So nothing surprised me so much, but things that made me feel very good over time while I was here. One is in response to the very unfortunate, unprovoked, brutal invasion of Ukraine by Russia. I was very impressed by the way all of Latvia's society came together as a united front against the invasion in support of the Ukrainians facing this this war machine that Mr. Putin had unleashed on their country. So I was very much heartened by that.
Сколько городов, сколько краев вы за все это время посетили в Латвии? И какой вам кажется наша страна? Такой монолитной, одинаковой или все-таки очень разношерстной?
Well, I've been all over the country. I think I've hit virtually every major city, despite the pandemic, traveling all around. Rezekne, Daugavpils, obviously Sigulda, because my wife and I love to hike around Sigulda. We walk the beaches at Jurmala, all around the different regions of Latvia. In terms of what it's like, it's a very flat country, so it doesn't have the geographic diversity. But at the same time, it's beautiful, and the people are very warm and friendly, and it's been a great 3 years.
За 3 года, что вы находитесь здесь, чуть более 3 лет, как вам кажется, американо-латвийские отношения как-нибудь видоизменились? Может быть, вектор сменили, стали крепче?
Yeah. Well, I think, as I touched on before, the relationship has always been strong, but it has gotten even stronger, deeper, and that was one of my responsibilities when I came. It'll be my successor's responsibility, too, is to continue to improve the relationship. And we've done some things over the last 3 years in a number of different areas or subjects. One we mentioned on facing the Russian invasion on Ukraine together, the transatlantic alliance, the NATO alliance is stronger than ever. A lot of people had doubts at the beginning of the war that this would happen, but I think the NATO alliance is even stronger. Even before the war, the security defense relationship between Latvia and the United States had deepened, had become stronger. We also made a lot of progress on anti-corruption, on anti-money laundering issues. the previous government, and which is still led by Mr. Karanch, this new government, deserves a lot of credit for the reforms that they put into place to combat corruption here. And we are proud to partner with Latvia on this at the request of the Latvian government. The United States has invested millions of dollars in creating new offices in the embassy with the Department of Treasury, Department of Justice, our Department of Treasury, and our Department of Justice to work together with our counterparts here on sharing best practices, sharing technical advice, and other ways that we can combat corruption together.
Может быть, есть такие сферы, где можно еще улучшить партнерство, сотрудничество между Америкой и Латвией? И есть вопросы, по которым у наших стран кардинально отличается видение и решение тех или иных моментов?
Well, there's always ways you can improve any sort of relationship or any sort of interaction on a diplomatic level, on a country-to-country level. But I think what's more important is that neither the United States nor Latvia become complacent. That we remember that it takes consistent, constant work now and into the future to continue to strengthen that security-defense relationship. It's not over, it's not done with. We have to keep going and continue to work. Also on anti-corruption measures, we can't be complacent on that either. The work is not done, we have to continue to do it. But we have strong partners in Latvia, and so we're going to continue to work together, because I know the Latvian government, and I had a farewell call with the Prime Minister yesterday, and we discussed the successes that we've had in the bilateral relationship. But we know that we have to continue to work on corruption matters, because corruption is a national security issue. It's something that transcends national borders. It doesn't stop at Latvia's borders or the United States borders. And so that is why President Biden includes it in his national security strategy. And that's why we're working with our partners, not only in Latvia, but throughout the Baltic regions, throughout Europe, throughout the world on corruption matters.
Насколько нам известно, все посольства США готовят материалы для ежегодного отчета Госдепартамента Конгресса о положении дел с правами человека вот как раз-таки в тех государствах, где работают дипломатические представительства. Знаете ли вы уже, о чем пойдет речь в отчете про Латвию?
You're right. The State Department does an individual human rights report on every country in the world. That's mandated by our Congress. It's required by law. And we have found over the years, and it's been going on for decades now, that this has been a useful tool in advancing human rights around the world, especially in authoritarian countries where you have widespread examples of torture or extrajudicial killings or imprisonment of political prisoners, you know, especially in these mostly egregious cases. But I don't know what this year's report will say. I haven't seen the draft. But if anybody has interest in what previous reports have said about Latvia or any other country, they're easily available on the State Department website.
А где вы берете свои представления о положении дел с правами человека в Латвии? Где те критерии, показатели, на которые вы ориентируетесь?
Well, I would say it's the same criteria we use in every country. There's no specific model per se for each country, but we follow open source media reports. We're in regular contact with our Latvian counterparts. We're in regular contact with Latvian non-government organizations. And if there happen, and I can't speak about the Latvia context, but I know in other countries where I've served, if there are concerns that residents of a particular country may have, they can certainly bring them to the attention of the U.S. government.
Мы, как вы знаете, являемся общественными СМИ, мультимедийная платформа «Нацменьшинств», которая главным образом вещает и работает на русском языке. И один из пунктов декларации нового правительства Латвии гласит, что кабинет министров, я процитирую, не будет поддерживать финансово дополнительное содержание русскоязычных масс-медиа. Что вы об этом думаете?
Well, that's more an issue of domestic concern. It's really not appropriate for me to comment on individual domestic concerns or issues as the as a foreign ambassador here, but you may be referring to a broader issue about language and cultural identity that has been talked about a lot over the last year, especially since February 24th. And cultural identity, language, can be a controversial topic. It is in my country, and it's something that elected leaders in a robust democratic society, as I mentioned before, that Latvia is, that my country is, leaders take in different viewpoints, different opinions, they weigh them, and then they make decisions that they think are in the best interests of the residents of their country, and they move forward.
Считаете ли вы, что, продолжая вот мой вопрос, лишать русскоязычных жителей Латвии получать и потреблять информацию на их родном языке может быть опасным? Да или нет, и почему?
Well, I think the important thing is, and I think Latvia is doing a very good job, and I'll touch upon that right now, is to have an information space where independent journalists, independent media are able to present fact-based reporting, what I would consider straightforward reporting, to push back against propaganda, against lies. And that can be in Russian, that can be in Latvian, that can be in English, it can be in any sort of language. It's important to push back against the disinformation that's coming out of Moscow in the information space here. And I think it's, and I would say, evidence, prima facie evidence, of my government's support for this type of reporting in all sorts of languages that I'm here today at RusLSM.
В Риге накануне открылся офис Радио Свобода. Он станет одним из крупнейших центров холдинга, где будут работать журналисты и вот настоящего времени, и русской службы Радио Свободы. И эти СМИ как раз финансируются правительством США. Почему, во-первых, решили выбрать именно Ригу в качестве локации?
Well, we have to be a little more specific because it is important that Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty are not parts of the U.S. government. They are an independent private corporation. But you are correct in that they are funded by U.S. taxpayer money. The Congress appropriates money to an agency, and then that agency funds Radio Liberty Europe and, I'm sorry, Radio Free Europe and Liberty Radio. So, so yes, it is U.S. taxpayer dollars that fund these things, but it's not a U.S. government entity. It's very much separate, independent, and that's why it's very important to maintain independent journalism that has integrity, and that's why. Radio Free Europe, or I'm sorry, Radio Liberty Europe is here. Now, we met yesterday with the CEO, Jamie Fly, of Radio Liberty Europe, and he also met with the president, he also met with the prime minister, and expressed appreciation for Latvia's support for independent journalism here. And they have seen what the government has done since the invasion last year, and first the foreign minister, welcoming or inviting independent Russian journalists to come to Riga to operate here. And then the Prime Minister in December made some very supportive comments of Russian independent journalists working here. And when I saw the Prime Minister yesterday, I expressed the United States' appreciation and gratitude, and this comes from the White House, for Latvia's support of independent Russian journalists operating here in Riga.
Ну, поскольку вы все принимали участие в этом торжественном мероприятии по случаю открытия нового офиса, нового пункта, и вы сказали, что наши политики, высшие должностные лица выражали поддержку в связи с этим, скажите, известно ли вам, как относятся и что думают, и что говорят, в том числе в публичном пространстве, и министры культуры, и президент Латвии, о СМИ, вещающих на русском языке здесь, в частности, о нас?
I, I can't really speak for the president or for the culture minister. All I know is that this government and also the president's support for independent Russian journalism here is strong. And it's been evidenced since almost a year now of Latvian government support for the operations of Russian journalists here that have been forced to flee from their home country.
Но вчера, насколько я понимаю, наши политики, скажем так, разделяли то, что здесь, в Латвии, должны находиться и такие независимые СМИ, вещающие на русском языке. Да? То есть вы не слышали обратного.
No, I'm not aware of any government actions to shut these sort of independent voices down.
Потому что, да, потому что в этой студии на вашем месте находился и президент Латвии, и министр культуры, которые, в принципе, говорили, что нас, как таковых, здесь быть не должно, и надо очень заботиться, защищать свое информационное поле и улучшать и способствовать возникновению, развитию СМИ в Латвии в основном на латышском языке и долю русского языка максимально снижать.
Yeah, I'm not aware of what the cultural minister may have said or what individual ministers, other ministers may have said on that particular topic. But what I am sure of is the government's support for independent voices, again, whether it's in Latvian, whether it's in Russian or any other language, because they understand the importance of pushing back, as I mentioned before, against these lies, this propaganda that is coming from Russia and is contaminating the information space.
Что вы думаете о ситуации с телеканалом Дождь, который Латвия лишила лицензии, и сейчас телеканал переносит свою редакцию для работы в Амстердам?
Again, this is an internal matter, an internal domestic matter for the Latvian government to address. Again, it's not appropriate for me as a foreign ambassador to comment on these sorts of actions. But as we have said from Washington, is that whoever lives here, whoever operates here or in any particular country has to be responsive to whatever the laws are in that country and has to follow those laws, and it's up to the host government to decide what actions they will take.
Исходя из вашего представления, как вам кажется, ваша субъективная оценка, может ли что-нибудь угрожать существованию, развитию журналистики в Латвии именно на русском языке?
I have not seen anything from my vantage point. Again, one of the reasons why I'm here is the support that the United States gives to free and fair and independent fact-based journalism from whatever source and whatever language.
По поводу войны в Украине, которую развязала Россия, хотелось бы поговорить, поскольку мы сейчас, страны НАТО, страны Европейского Союза, очень активно помогаем Украине с вооружением, поставляя и оружие, и системы противовоздушной обороны, и ракеты, и танки, и беспилотники, и все это делаем из собственного запаса. Значит ли это, что наша собственная боевая способность из-за этого ухудшается? Потому что мы сами остро нуждаемся в пополнении этого вооружения, а новое оружие, понятно, не создается в столь короткие сроки за пару дней.
Well, in terms of preparedness and readiness, I think you would have to ask the officials from the Ministry of Defense or from the Latvian military. However, I would like to touch on a couple of things that you mentioned. One, we are extremely grateful for all the assistance that Latvia has provided to Ukraine. You're right, they have given some armaments to Ukraine from your stockpiles. You have given great humanitarian resources. You have opened your arms to over 40,000 Ukrainian refugees here. And that gratitude, that generosity has to be acknowledged. And Washington understands all the things that Latvia has done. If you look at how much aid is going to Ukraine, it's a tremendous amount. My country is giving the most in absolute terms because we have a huge economy and we have a huge population base. So, I mean, it only makes sense that our numbers are very big. But on a per capita basis, on the size of population, on the size of the economy, Latvia, depending on the month, is, you know, one of the top one, two, or three countries. I mean, it moves up and down every month in terms of what you're giving to Ukraine. Last year, Latvia provided a quarter to a third of its military budget to Ukraine. And that's an amazing figure. And I know the Speaker Saima was in Kyiv yesterday, and he was leading a number of buses, you know, for generous contributions to the residents there in the city. So these are very important things to acknowledge, but also what is important, and to touch on another part of your question, is the NATO alliance members have responded to Latvia's request, to the other Baltic countries' request, to increase their presence here since the war. Within 4 hours after the invasion, President Biden ordered U.S. paratroopers to move here from Italy. So we were here within hours. The United States has committed to heel-toe rotations, what we call an enduring presence of military engagements here, of soldiers here. I've been privileged to spend a lot of time with our men and women here that are serving far from home alongside Latvian military personnel, alongside our NATO partners. And of course, the Advanced Forward Presence post here is led by Canadians. But there are 10 or 11 other NATO countries here that are contributing to this Advanced Forward Presence post here. So the alliance has responded to Latvia's request for more soldiers, for more equipment. And we've responded.
Когда вы говорите, что вы хотите усилить присутствие здесь, вы имеете в виду страны, именно страны Балтии, или когда мы говорим об общей обороноспособности, НАТО в принципе будет уделять особое внимание восточноевропейским странам и северным странам, тем государствам, которые имеют общую с Россией границу?
Yes, of course. I mean, there was a war. I mean, a brutal invasion, one of the most significant military actions since the Second World War that threatens the underpinnings of the established international order. So, of course, NATO is going to respond. And, of course, NATO has responded. And we have responded in a very strong, clear-eyed way. And we made commitments at the NATO summit in Madrid last June about what we as a collective alliance were going to do in the Baltic regions, in Poland and other East European countries. And it's not just the United States, it's the alliance members, it's the alliance as a whole. And I think the response has been tremendous and extremely impressive. And not only on the military side, but also on sanctions. There have been several, I think it's eight, I may be off by the number, sanctions packages that have caused tremendous economic hardship to Russia. And these are causing problems there, and they will continue to do so. But again, to come back to a point I made earlier, it's important not to be complacent, not to become complacent. It's important to stay united, to stay with Latvia, stay with Ukraine as long as it will take. And I know Latvia will do that. I know my country will do that. My president has said it repeatedly, that we are with Ukraine until the end. And we will be with Ukraine until it decides that the war is over.
Давайте немножко коснемся и американской повестки дня, а именно шумихи вокруг непростого избрания спикера Палаты представителей в США, которого избрали только с 15-й попытки, и это республиканец Кевин Маккарти, и, как я понимаю, это первый за 100 лет истории случай, когда выборы спикера потребовали такого количества туров. Поясните жителям Латвии, почему вообще избрание спикера так важно?
Well, as my boss, Secretary of State Antони Блинкен, says, I don't do domestic politics. So I don't really comment on what's going on in the United States. I leave that to other experts. But one thing I want to say about the Congress, about my Congress, is that we disagree on a lot of things in the United States right now on the political spectrum. I think if you read the newspapers or follow the news, everybody understands that. But one of the few things that both sides of the aisles, Republicans, Democrats, agree on is support for this part of the world, support for the Baltic countries, support for Latvia. And in recent years, actually, the monetary support has gone up And that comes from our Congress. That comes from Republicans and Democrats. And so they are united in support of the Baltics and Latvia. Just this last summer, we had the two co-chairs of the new co-chairs of the Baltic Caucus in our Congress, in the House of Representatives. We had Representative Bacon was here and Representative Gallego, one a Democrat, one a Republican. And they were united in their support for Latvia and in their commitment to try to get more funds, more support, more resources for Latvia and the Baltics.
Ну, действительно, много разной информации по этому поводу, и аналитики, эксперты американские высказываются, и кто-то предполагает, что избрание вот Кевина Маккарти может отразиться в том числе и на войне в Украине, как раз то, о чем вы говорили, о бюджете и финансовой помощи. Может ли вообще это повлиять на расходы Пентагона и на выделение военной помощи именно Украине?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about hypotheticals, let alone hypotheticals about domestic politics, of which, you know, it's not appropriate for me to comment on. But I am fully confident that United States support for Ukraine against the aggression of Russia, this unprovoked, brutal aggression that is targeting civilians, that and people are committing war atrocities there. United States support and resources will continue to go to Ukraine for as long as it takes until the war is over.
Ну, и напоследок, известно ли, кто займет место посла после вас? Кто будет вашим преемником?
Yes, the president nominated Christopher Robinson back in the summer, and our process takes some time to work its way through, and our U.S. Senate confirmed Chris in December, right before Christmas, and Chris will probably be here in February. I don't know the exact time. My last day in country it will be in 2 weeks, and so then typically between U.S. ambassadors, it's about 2 weeks, give or take a few days. So I think Chris will be here on the ground sometime in February, and I know he's very much looking forward to coming here. He's also a great representative of the United States, very well versed in this part of the world. And I hope that, and I know that, everyone will give him the same warm welcome and support that they have given me for over 3 years.
О чем бы вы его предупредили? Что ему необходимо знать, на ваш взгляд?
Well, he already knows, and we're going to be meeting up a few times in Washington when I go back. But I'm going to say to him, prepare to be very busy. You'll be very busy as the American ambassador, but also be prepared to be very welcome. But you're going to have a lot of work to do because people expect, and rightly so, a lot out of the relationship between our two countries because we are very good friends. And the United States likes to help its friends out. And I know Chris will continue that mission.
Перед эфиром я вас спросила, с каким настроением вы покинете Латвию, остаются вот считанные дни, и вы сказали, это грустно. Почему? Вы успели к чему-то привыкнуть, что-то вам особенно полюбилось?
Well, my wife and I have been here for over 3 years now, and for both of us, Latvia has a place in our heart, because the people are, first and foremost, it's always about the people. The people have been very welcoming on a personal level, and also because you like Americans. There are great ties to the United States. There are family ties, cultural ties that came from the two diasporas, both before the Second World War and afterwards. So those ties are very strong. You have a warm feeling for Americans. We also share the same liberal democratic values, the idea that government works for the people, not the other way around. You respect the rights of individuals. These sorts of things. So these are the things that, you know, we already have so much in common. And then, of course, the defense-security relationship is at the heart of the current relationship.
Ну и последний вопрос. Расскажите о ваших личных планах. Знаете ли вы, чем будете заниматься дальше?
Yeah. Well, we've been in the Foreign Service and the Diplomatic Corps for coming up 36 years. So now it's time to see the United States, to stay in the United States. And so I'll be going into retirement in a few weeks and looking forward to it.
Ну, я вас поздравляю, я желаю вам успешного возвращения домой, как вы сказали, я думаю, вы с нетерпением этого ждете, и благодарю вас за вашу работу, и благодарю зрителей, которые были или смотрели нас. Напоминаю, сегодня в гостях у нас был посол США в Латвии Джон Карвелл, спасибо вам большое. И можете напоследок обратиться к нашим зрителям и тоже им что-нибудь сказать или пожелать.
Oh, that's dangerous to give the ambassador a floor to say whatever he wants. But one thing I do want to say is what you do as a journalist, what your colleagues here at RUS LSM do is very important. It's important to have independent journalists. It's extremely important for you to ask questions of political leaders, whether it's here in Latvia or it's visitors like Secretary of State Blinken or Secretary of Defense Austin or myself. Ask difficult questions because you are what is crucial to a robust democratic society, a robust civil society. And so your voice matters. So I just want to thank you for what you do every day as well.
Ну, а я, в свою очередь, вас благодарю за то, что вы нашли время и напоследок пришли к нам в гости и заглянули в эту студию. Ну, и зрителям я хочу пожелать хороших, спокойных выходных. Сегодня вечером обязательно смотрите новости, рассказываем о главных событиях в Латвии и мире. Ну, и увидимся, как обычно, в понедельник в это же время. Всего вам доброго!